Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, October 5th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside GameSpot.com's Demolition Man, Tamor Hussein. Hello, Tam.
That is an amazing nickname, and I love it.
I thought you like it. I thought about doing the pun, you know, Demolition Tam, but then it's too much Tam, too much Tamor. It's just it didn't work that way.
I appreciate it. I'm enjoying that. I've been given two nicknames so far on the Kind of Funny universe of Demolition Man, which is real good, and the other one is Fox, which I really like as well. These are two good. I finally got my nicknames and it feels good.
Well, I'm excited to finally host a show with you on Games Daily since we announced you as an official part-timer. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You know, life is hectic right now. Busy. But I'm always ready, willing, and happy to take some time out to chat games with you fine folks. And I'm glad that we finally get to do one together.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. You got a lot. What is going on in your life? You're playing some video games, of course.
I'm playing some video games, reviewing some things. I'm kind of like dealing with moving around a bit. Yeah. So that has been an ongoing drama in my life, which hopefully will come to a close soon. Streaming on Twitch every now and then. I say every now and then, it's like three times a week at this point.
Look at you. You're a dedicated Twitch streamer. You're just the new ninja here.
I am the new. I'm coming for Ninja's neck.
Sure. Somebody has to.
But he's not going to see it coming like a real ninja. I don't announce myself with like a New Year's Eve ball or some nonsense like that.
Remember when he flossed and nobody knew what it was?
Man, it is an embarrassment to the name of the shinobi.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. He's the embarrassment. Tam? There's no time to lose. Do you understand this, ladies and gentlemen? Do you understand what has happened today? It has finally happened. Sora is in Smash. Rick Grimes might be coming to Fortnite, and there are achievements on the Epic Games Store. We'll talk about all this and more because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. On patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in with your questions, your comments, your concerns, your own squad up requests. On patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily ad-free along with that exclusive post show we only do on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And you can get a bevy of benefits like watching live as we record things like the Gamescast, PS I Love You, the Xcast. And of course, then there's that next gen podcast you can only get on Patreon. But we totally understand. If you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can get each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily free. You can get it live as we record it on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like Liquid Zero is, Overly Jammy is, and Frog Knight Joshy GR. Of course, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. So we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Porty was playing a dangerous game there, moving his head as I was getting ready for the
game. Can't bonk.
Can't bonk them. I remember, of course, there's a new way to support Kind of Funny if you use the Epic Game Store. If you buy those Fortnite V-Bucks, if you buy things in Rocket League, and no matter the platform, you can use our Epic creator code, Kinda Funny, all one word. You get the things you want, we get a few bucks tossed our way, and everybody wins. Except, I guess, Steam, they lose, but what doesn't matter? Housekeeping for you. This week, you're getting another episode of The Blessing Show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, Blessing and Roger's monthly show, where Blessing breaks down a hot topic for you in video games, is coming up this Thursday on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames at 8 a.m. Pacific time. It will be a YouTube premiere, meaning you can watch live as it goes live, chat it up with Blessing there. He won't tell you what it's about, but he keeps saying this month's episode is loopy as hell. Loopy. So it's clearly about Fruit Loops. On top of that, if that wasn't enough for you, the first episode of the Arkham Files, a Kinda Funny Games miniseries where Barrett looks back at what makes each of the Batman Arkham games so special, premieres next Monday, October 11th on youtube.com/kindafunnygames at 2:30 p.m. Pacific time. You can join Barrett in the live chat as well and talk to him about why Arkham Asylum is still a masterclass in video game design. Tam, do you agree with that masterclass, Arkham Asylum?
100%. I agree. Okay.
I know you don't like Batman, so that's something I wanted to bring up. Make sure.
Not sure about that. Yeah, I don't like Batman in the same way that you don't like Superman.
Fair enough. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Brinksky and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash, Honey, and American Giant, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. I already told you at the top of the show, Tam, what it was going to be. It's finally happened. Kingdom Hearts has come to Smash Brothers. Sora is in Smash. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you could go to youtube.com/kindafunnygames right now. Watch our live reaction to it. Watch Blessing Adeoye Jr. And of course, Tim motherfucking Geddes freak out about it. But it's Smash. I was here yesterday. I crashed a show for Ghostbusters. If we're talking Smash, I have to welcome to the stage. He's Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one, at Tim Geddes. Hello, Tim.
What's up, everybody? What a day. I'm, like, still shaking, guys. Like, there's just an energy pulsing through me. Y'all know me. I don't do well with mornings. My plan was very, very much wake up, do this thing, go take a nap until I had to get up again. That didn't happen. That couldn't happen. Sora. What?
Sora.
We will start at IGN.com for the recap before we get the full rundown. And don't worry, Tam, we're going to GameSpot after that right away.
Well, thanks.
Sora is in Smash. I'm reading from Joe Scrabbles at IGN. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate's last ever DLC character will be Sora from Kingdom Hearts. Announced by series creator Zachary in the final presentation, a new trailer referenced the original Smash Bros. Ultimate reveal. It showed Mario throwing a fireball that opened a portal, bringing Sora into the world of Smash Bros. Sora will be added to the game on October 18th. It will cost $5.99 USD as a standalone and as part of the Fighter's Pass Volume 2. Sakurai says Sora's controls are relatively straightforward, but he will remain distinct from other characters. He's built for airborne combat, but his weakness in weight is weight. Here's where we'll stop right now. Why am I already tripped up on this? Up until today, Tim, you would have said, "Oh man, Sora from Kingdom Hearts," and I would have been like, "Yeah, I don't know. I think I know what she looks like." And then it turned out it was this guy. This guy with the key is Sora, huh? Fuck, I thought it was somebody else.
Greg, I thought that was Cloud. I thought that was Cloud.
Right when he came through, right? Like, Cloud.
Cloud again. He's cool.
Dark games. He's dark
find
games.
Some joy in your lives, boy.
He's built for airborne combat, but his weakness is weight. He weighs less than Young Link or Isabelle, meaning you'll want to avoid hits. As you'd expect, his basic attacks utilize the Keyblade, and several attacks are designed to hit enemies into the air, allowing you to begin air combos. Sora can also use some of Kingdom Hearts magic. Some are used for damage, while others are used as cosmetic-only taunts. The aim is for Sora to control as much as possible as he did in the original Kingdom Hearts. I left in the IGN thing from their article. Have you played Super Smash Bros.? That's a weird thing to put in your article. Joe Scrabble. Oh, that was a video. Sora's base design is modeled on the original Kingdom Hearts game, but his other costumes reference other games in the Kingdom Hearts series. He will include English and Japanese voiceover options. The DLC also adds 9 Kingdom Hearts songs to the huge soundtrack. And for those who played Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory, your save data will grant you 1 extra song. Sora also gets a new stage based around Hollow Bastion, the castle Maleficent inhabits towards the end of the original Kingdom Hearts. A fairly simple one-platform stage, low time or stock, sees it also transform into a location set inside the void-like Dive to the Heart Realm, featuring stained glass window designs showing characters from Square Enix series. That's not all. Over at GameSpot, our friend Eddie talked about the Mii Fighter costumes that were revealed. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is adding more Mii Fighter costumes, including new ones based on Doomslayer from id Software's shooter series, and Judd and Octoling from Splatoon. These Mii Fighter costumes will be available on October 18th for 75 cents each. This will be the 11th round of Mii Fighter costumes released in the game over the years. Tim, I talked at length there. I watched you. I was in bed today. Jen wanted to go out for breakfast early, so I woke up. I was there looking at you guys, and I saw you freak out. I saw your reaction. Did you have hope that this is what it would be, that it would be Sora, or were you setting yourself up for it to be like Kevin predicted, Master Hand?
I mean, I definitely didn't expect Master Hand. I would have actually been really excited about that as well. I thought that would have been a fun fitting end. I did not expect this at all. There's just too many things in the way, too many licenses. It's Square and Disney, which both infamously difficult to work with. You add them together, that's going to be a big problem, right? And there's just a lot of other factors that come into the decision making of Smash characters and like the any type of past like patterns that we've seen of how Sakurai decides who gets in what game and whatever, and especially knowing that this last round has been more influenced by Nintendo making the decisions as opposed to them coming straight from his mind. I thought this was fairly unlikely. So yes, seeing that the Keyblade, I lost my shit. Like, I can't believe this is real. I think it is such an amazing fitting end to this insane saga that is Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Like, you guys know Smash Brothers, the franchise, is my favorite franchise of all time. And so much of that is dating back to the original and especially Melee, which was just such a celebration of Nintendo history. And having the trophies in Melee like really kind of educated me on a lot of older games that I had never grown up playing. So it's like then over time I'd go and play them, and now I'm a huge fan of things like Fire Emblem that I would have never heard of, and so many people in America would have never heard of if it weren't for Melee introducing us to Marth and Roy. And to have that kind of continue, and then in 2006 when they had the Brawl trailer at E3 and it ended with Snake, that busted the doors open of like, oh shit, it's not just Nintendo history, it's video game history. And then when Sonic was finally revealed after being a joke April Fool's Day joke in EGM so many years prior in Melee, for it to be real, I was like, wow, anything is possible. But there was only those two third-party characters. And then when it got to Wii U, and they were just like, and Mega Man, and Cloud, and Ryu, and it just started, and Pac-Man, like, it just started getting crazy. To the point that we get to Ultimate, and it felt like there were no rules anymore. Like, there was nothing that couldn't happen. And then it just kept going and going and going. And for it to now end with Sora, it's like, yeah, they're going to pull it off. And the thing that's special about this is, take it or leave it, your thoughts of the Kingdom Hearts franchise or all that, what makes Smash special, and on top of just being a fantastic video game, is the level of care that Sakurai and the team put into every single decision. It's not just a character that's in the game. It's the music. It's the stage. It's the way they animate and move, the way they play differently than other characters. Even if they're all sword characters, they play differently because they play like they should from their games, with just the slight things, but they all fit within that Smash Brothers mold. But then on top of that, just getting all the references with the spirits and with the just everything. This game is the craziest crossover of all time, and I love that in this presentation Sakurai just straight up flexed and was just dropping all the stats of like, there's over 1100 songs in this game from across 440 different video games. That is like the most, like, people talk about the most ambitious crossover of all time. This will never be outdone ever. This is absolutely insane. I think that Sora is one of the most exciting ends to this saga, and I can't believe it's real.
Damn. Did this do anything for you, Sora?
I love Kingdom Hearts. The third game was a kind of like an interesting one. It felt like a closure for me in that franchise. I think also Kingdom Hearts has gone in some wild directions that I can't get on board with. But so there was a time at the start of when Smash was coming out where the phrase "everyone is here" was being used.
Yeah,
and I feel like they ended it. And they can fully kind of like look at that phrase and say it proudly. Everyone is here. Like, anyone who's anyone is here. Like, the stuff that you would have expected gaming heritage wise. Like, it's wild how much of a kind of like time capsule, or not even time capsule, or how much like of this game represents the entire video game industry, past and present. Like, you could preserve this game and like send it off to an alien planet, and it would be like a fantastic representation of video games on Earth. I didn't think they would pull this off. A shout out to the incessant, borderline annoying Kingdom Hearts fans out there that were constantly just like spamming Sora in Smash when you did it, and I'm very, very happy that it happened. And now everyone can enjoy it, and finally Sakurai can rest.
He may rest.
Here's the thing: you keep talking about rest, you keep talking about closure. This is the end of it. Obviously, the last DLC character we knew. There's been a question floating around the internet that I want your guys' opinion on. Tim, I'm going to start with you. Pixelated Soul in the live chat on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames asks it. This is the last Smash game, right? How can anything top this? Will there ever be another Smash Brothers, Tim?
There has to be another Smash Brothers. The franchise just does too well for there not to be. But what I hope it is completely radically different than what we've had before. The Smash Ultimate, they've done it. It is the ultimate Smash game. Like, literally, this cast, like, the E3 trailer of the Everyone Is Here moment, like, I watch that every once in a while, and I am still just blown away by it. Like, the pacing, one day I want to do a video essay breakdown of just that trailer, because the way that it's paced in terms of the order of characters of how they reveal them tells such a story. Like, again, Sakurai fucking cares so much about all the details of this stuff. And when we saw Cloud come back in that, not just his DLC on the Wii U version, but back in Ultimate, that's the moment that clicked for me of like, holy shit, everyone is here. And like, they are making this the definitive Smash game with every playable character ever. That is never going to happen again, ever again. There's no way you'll be able to get all these licenses. So I hope that Smash Ultimate is able to exist for the rest of time on different consoles. I hope that it keeps continuing to get ported forward. I hope that we get a physical complete edition that is one cartridge with all these characters, because I don't want it stuck digitally DLC that at any moment, who the hell knows what could happen. Like, this needs to be preserved. Like, this is video game history, like, itself. So I'm obviously very attached to this, but I would hope that we see a Smash in the future that, I mean, whatever Sakurai does, I'm going to be there day one. I think that it's finally time for him to take a step aside. But I'd love for them to kind of do what they did with either Street Fighter 3 or Street Fighter 4 even, and like, kind of go back. Let's strip it down a bit. Do something a little bit different. Like, I'd love to see smaller roster, completely new movesets. Like, go for it, Tim.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tim, what are you weighing? Is that where you think this is going to?
I think that should be to keep porting that game forwards as a version of like, oh, Smash will always be available. But I also think that they could potentially, there's a universe in which they're on the cusp of something that is close to another game that we now know and are consumed by, which is Fortnite. Like, the only parallel to Smash that exists is Fortnite. Smash is gaming Fortnite, where any Rick Grimes is showing up or whatever. They could go forward and be like, yes, there's a new Smash, and we're going all in, and we're licensing characters from anywhere. And Nintendo does that by, like, the reason Epic can do that is because they show up and they show these license holders, this is the power of Fortnite. And the only other game that can do that is in a similar way is Smash. Nintendo shows up and says, this is the power of Smash. Now give us Goku. And that is what happens. Like, we start going forward and they start creating, like, the next step up is not just like everyone's in here from gaming. It's everyone is here from everywhere. And instead of doing like, we've got an authentic representation of Sora, it's like, we have created a new version of Goku for our Smash game. We have got Deku from My Hero Academia. We've got whoever from these various properties that they can now selectively pick, and they create their own like universe, all media encompassing Smash title.
Tim, do you think that would actually happen? Because of course, like, you know, you say the gaming Fortnite, which is a funny one, but I understand what you're talking about in terms of like all entertainment properties are coming to Fortnite, right? But of course, Fortnite's able to get away with so much more because it is just running and shooting, right? It's not, this character has to feel like Sora from Kingdom Hearts. They just have to look like it for the most part. Tim, could you see Smash pivoting that way and trying to get a wide, is that the solution, you think?
I can't ever imagine them doing that, but guess what? I could never imagine Sora, Sephiroth, and Cloud being in Super Smash Brothers, and here we are. So, like, I don't know, but what I do know is I don't think that if Sakurai is not involved, I don't think that it'll be given the same type of love and care. And I think that's not necessarily the worst thing ever. Other people will make a very compelling game, I'm sure, especially with the Tam's pitch. Like, that's awesome. I just want the Smash Brothers gameplay to exist. It baffles me that, I mean, on today, maybe I'm wrong, we'll see, but it baffles me that nobody has been able to match that gameplay in a similar style game. There's been
Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl today. I'm sorry. I was watching Bless play it last night. It looks exactly
rest
the same.
In peace, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Don't bring it up. It's a sore subject. All right.
But that's my thing, though. It's like, there's been probably 10 attempts at it. There was a Ninja Turtle one, an Onimusha one over the years. I've played all of them, and some of them are fun, but none of them just nail it. And Smash just nails it. So if they can take that and apply it to other IPs, I think that'd be really damn cool. I think what we have with this iteration of Smash, like, every ounce of care was put into it in a way that I wish everything was made, but that's just not how the world works.
Sure, that's fair enough. And so then, you know, for me, is this the last Smash Brothers game? And again, I'm just an outsider, I'm just an, you know, industry pundit, whatever you want to call me, commentator. Like, of course not. There will be another Smash Brothers. But the answer, the question then morphs to what you're talking about, Tim, of like, well, what does another one look like? When you have the ultimate version, yeah, then it's like, well, we have this brand, we have this IP, we can't just let it sit there forever. And I do think that at this point in the Switch's life cycle, right, whenever we get Switch 2, Switch Pro, whatever the next step is, they can easily put out Smash Ultimate Definitive Edition, like you're talking about, that is one cartridge that has everything, and then just is the Reap thing, and whatever the new benefits of the new Switch are, the new Nintendo platform are, they get to do it. So you're covered for another generation, I think, going forward. And then beyond that, yeah, it is that question of, cool, if you're going to make another one and call it Smash Brothers, how do you make it clear that, like, what you're talking about, Tim, it isn't the Smash you know before? And how do you do it of, like, we've made a smaller roster on purpose because of, and, like, how do you message that to the audience, especially the, not the fighting game community, and I'm speaking a bit out of turn as somebody who's never really been connected with that, because I think they would get it if you were talking about why this is a different Smash and what this is, but more the audience, right? For you talk about bang for your buck, if somebody's going to look at that and be like, well, this is less than I got when I played this in college, let alone the thing I just picked up on Switch that is, you know, every character under the sun.
Yeah.
Tim, my final question before I let you go back to your day-to-day here comes from Just Tom on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, who writes in and says, why does Sakurai hate Wario's pervert brother so much? Or why have they looked over a Nintendo character who has been in every other Mario sports game? Why no Waluigi, Tim? Why not let the poor man in there? Let him walk, you know what I mean? Let him do his thing.
I mean, he's in the game as an assist trophy, so
that shit,
he's there.
More insulting him in the game.
And I mean, as far as I can think of in my mind right now, it's like the one of the few rules that now that we know all the characters, we can look back and see what patterns, what rules actually existed. And I'm pretty sure that at least for a new iteration of the game, if you were an assist trophy, you couldn't. No yeah. character became a playable character after being an assist trophy in that iteration of the game. There were characters that were assist trophies in the previous game, but then became playable, but then they weren't assist trophies anymore. So there's that. And also, I mean, Waluigi, it's a meme more than anything. I would have enjoyed him being in the game. I would have thought that was funny. I much prefer Sora being in it, and I feel like there's a long list of characters I would have preferred over Waluigi being in. But like, now that it's all said and done, like, there's still things that I'm like, easy wins. Like, I feel like, especially introducing the Echo characters, they made a lot of great choices. Like, they put a lot of cool things in there. But, like, why is Miss Pac-Man not an alt for Pac-Man? Why is Waluigi not an alt for Luigi? Like, there's just so many easy things they could have done that they didn't. And, you know, there's probably a multitude of reasons for that. But that's at some point, I'm just like, I can't ask for more. Are you fucking kidding?
I feel like they've got not having Waluigi in it means they've got one Megaton surprise left in their back pocket. Like, 6 months from now, they just go, you thought we were done with Smash, but we heard, and here he is. Wow. And Waluigi is out today. And everyone goes absolutely mental. Like, the Smash Brothers, the newly announced Smash Brothers Ultimate Complete Edition comes out and everyone buys it, and the 4K Switch is like, everyone buys that as well. Waluigi for the big moment.
he deserves praise that he deserves, give him the respect he deserves. Well, Tim, congratulations on Sora finally making it to Smash. I know you'll have more spirits to get to, I assume.
This is the final road. I'll never have more spirits to get again. I can't believe it.
It's sad, right?
Man, it's honestly like this whole thing has been way more emotional than I expected it to be. Like, it, and it's just, it's nuts, man. Like, that the majority of my life has been dedicated to this franchise and in so many ways, and like, for this to I truly believe this is the end. Like, I believe this is the end of Sakurai's vision of Smash Brothers. Like, that is insane. Absolutely insane. I posted a picture of me and him on Twitter. I was so excited to see him at E3. He was at the 3DS booth playing his own game. Uprising, and I just thought it was like so fucking cool, and like I was freaking out. I was like, Fredo, you gotta come with me. I'm gonna ask him to take a picture, and that did not go well with the language barrier, and it really felt like he had never been asked to take a picture before.
Nobody knows who I am.
Like
nobody
he was excited that I was excited, and like it was just so funny. Also, look at me, so small. But anyways,
the focus
is
off too.
I know. It was a quick thing, but anyway,
is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's me.
You age like a fine wine.
Yeah, I aged like something. But anyways, yeah. I don't know. This franchise is and always will be very special to me. I thank, honestly, everybody that has been along with me for this journey through the Grinch theory, through everything, all the reveals, hype or otherwise. But anyways, I can't wait. October 18th.
October 18th, right around the corner. Thank you, Timothy Geddes, for coming on. Please go back to whatever it is you do while we do this show. All right. I'll see you for GameScast. All right. Bye. Kevin, back to our two. And then speaking of a number two shot, here comes a number two story. Is Rick Grimes coming to Fortnite? We go to Mark Delaney over at GameSpot. Kevin, I put a link in here for you to show off. And of course, I wanted to put this at number two, Kevin, to wash that Smash Brothers Sora taste out of your mouth. Let's talk some Fortnite, big Kev dog. Are you excited?
Fortnite's dead to me. I'm over it. It's New World all day. It's not true.
I'm sorry. What? Fortnite is dead to you?
Just the last 2 weeks. Just the
Stuck
last two
that,
weeks.
Stuck on that, Tim Sweeney.
I am definitely interested to turn it back on and see if I can get this guy. I don't care about Rick Grimes and Frankenstein.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's pretty cool.
I mean, I'm going to need a minute here. Like, I knew you were all about...
We haven't played Fortnite in like 2 weeks.
I knew you were all in on New World. Don't get me wrong. I see the squad ups. I saw you last night out there trying to get out there and chop some trees. Lauren Wilson didn't have power. I saw all of that. I understood.
So sad.
That.
So sad.
But I didn't realize that you had then not only cheated on Fortnite, now completely left them. You dug the grave and put the body in there is what you're telling me. It's over.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. For the time being, we'll see where things net out.
Well, this is, of course.
It's very public as well. This is like the equivalent of Kevin joining.
I mean, what am I going to like hide this? Everyone knows, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Well,
I mean, talking
like,
about it.
But it's that thing where it's like, all right, cool, I'm playing.
The best friends are down there. They're watching us play New World over anything else. Like,
yeah,
they hear the calls for Fortnite disappearing. They knew.
They know, but this is how there's a difference between what you're saying right now. Right now, I'm playing Far Cry 6, right? And after that, I'm going to be playing Back 4 Blood. And guess what? That means I'm not playing Avengers right now. But I would never say Avengers is dead to me, as you just declared Fortnite is dead to you because of the New World.
Yeah, but I'm a realist. Yeah. You know what I mean?
This is outrageous. What you are saying right now is outrageous because you are going to come crawling back to Fortnite at some point.
No, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. I haven't canceled my crew my crew. So that is, I think, the biggest... indicator that I, because I mean, you know more than any. Like, I'm a cheap man. I don't like spending my money anywhere. So the fact that I'm still, what was that?
You only know the dollar menu at McDonald's.
That's true. I, you know, I have no idea what the milkshake there tastes like. No. So I mean, like, I will find my way back. But like for now, my mind is only thinking New World.
Cut to tomorrow when Kevin is streaming Fortnite.
I'm going to read this to you. You can keep it in your back pocket. Remember, of course, ladies and gentlemen, Fort Nightmares is back this year. It's bigger than ever, they say. The official release reads, with new updates every day in October. This month is jam-packed for a spooky season in Fortnite. However, we're talking about Rick Grimes. We're reading from GameSpot.com, where Mark Delaney writes, Epic Games is kicking off the Fortnite Halloween event with teases of new crossover characters, and among them appears to be Rick Grimes from AMC's The Walking Dead. The developer publisher hasn't confirmed the arrival of the beloved sheriff, but an in-game tease includes a nod to his iconic hat. While Fort Nightmares kicks off today with Universal's official Frankenstein monster crossover, it's the image below that has players and that's the one Kevin's showing you, expecting Rick to show up in-game sometime later this month. His unmistakable sheriff's hat is shown alongside teases for other tease characters, such as a new ghoul trooper. This tease follows a leak earlier this year that suggested Epic has been working on a new Walking Dead collaboration with AMC, though we didn't know then which character it may be, if anyone. Given that good guys, Daryl and Michonne, came to the game last year, the most likely candidates would be Rick and his nemesis, Negan. And now, it looks like Rick has all but been confirmed. Beyond that, even, they have, of course, confirmed that the mummy will be part of this Fortnite action. And then you can discover new and returning Halloween outfits through flipped cards on the official Fortnite channels. These cards will reveal the legendary monsters making their way or finding their way back to the island. But here we are. I didn't realize. I thought, you know, I like to throw Kevin these bones to him. I say, here you go. And I got to start looking for new world stuff every day.
I think people are going to be real upset when that turns out to be Woody from Toy Story. It's going to be hilarious.
I think they'd be stoked about that, actually. Tim, has Fortnite ever done it for you?
So I had an unfortunate experience with Fortnite in that I had to lead coverage of Fortnite for a really long time, which, sure, as you know, is there was a period where if you weren't covering Fortnite, you basically were like killing your website.
Sure.
So I basically every 3 days a week I would be covering Fortnite, and it meant that I developed a dislike of Fortnite. Yeah, it was the only thing I was like focused in on. But I respect Fortnite massively. I think it's like an incredible platform that has been created. Oh, yeah. I wish I was better about playing it. I wish I could enjoy it in a way that, you know, others do. I'm bad at the building stuff. I just don't care about it.
You don't have
I know
to
you can. You can. I know you can get by, but like,
we never build.
I've got enough issues with focusing on tactics and shooting without having these kids build a fortress in 3 seconds flat, and suddenly I'm ostracized once again in an online gaming space, and I hate it. So, but I do respect it as a platform massively, and as a moment within, I think it goes down as one of the most important video games in history,
for sure.
Which is wild, but I don't know if they. They got a Rick coming, but if they put Rick O'Connell from The Mummy in it, I would buy it and be on board day one.
It's only a matter of time. That's it's only I'm a matter saying. Of time before every IP you ever cared about is in that game.
Exactly.
I'm surprised they haven't done Demolition Man yet.
Oh, that would be another one. Like, if they put any Demolition Man in there, oh my God.
Donald Mustard, I mean, if you're out there listening, Demolition Man for the Demolition
for
Day.
For me, yeah.
Get exactly. In get it in yeah. there. Do them. If that wasn't enough Epic news, let's move over to number three. Epic Game Store is adding achievements. This is Austin Goslin over at Polygon. The Epic Game Store is finally getting a unified achievement system. The system is called Epic Achievements, and it will be added to a few games starting next week, Epic announced on Monday. Epic Achievements will be available first for Rocket League, Hades, Pillars of Eternity, Humankind, Zombie Army 4, Defense Grid, and a few more titles that Epic hasn't announced yet. Other developers will get access to the tool soon, which means that even more games should be getting their official Epic Achievements before the end of the year. The details page of each game with Epic Achievements will display all achievements as well as progress towards unlocking them. The achievements will also give XP that will level up Epic accounts, letting players show off their feats to their friends. The rare and more difficult the achievement, the more experience it will give. Here's a list of the achievement tiers and how much XP they can grant. Bronze gets you between 5 and 45 XP, silver between 50 and 95, gold between 100 and 200, and a platinum is 250 XP. This isn't the first time that games on the Epic Game Store have had achievements, but it is the first time those achievements will be part of a unified system that will be tracked outside of each individual game. Thankfully, all of the developer achievements, which were exclusive to specific games before, will still be available in any game they were part of. In fact, according to Epic, if a game previously had developer achievements and switches over to the new Epic Achievements, all progress will carry over right away, and you'll get the XP you already earned. Tam, I look at people wasting their lives chasing achievements on Xbox all the time, and I'm like, you poor bastard. Are you going to be one of these people chasing them on Epic Games, or do you have better things to do?
No, I will not be doing that on Epic Games. Like, this is going to sound a bit unfair, but there's something about achievements on PC that just make them, they get filed in the worthless drawer in my mind. Like, sure. I do not care about achievements on a PC specifically. There's something so disposable and like flimsy about them. Sure. I don't know, maybe it's because like I started off on like consoles, achievements being big on consoles. Like, I was into Xbox achievements for a really long time, and then I kind of fell out of favor at that. They started like giving them away like Oprah, just like you can have achievements and you can have achievements.
Sure.
And they started to lose their value. So now I'm more committed to PlayStation trophies, but
oh,
I'm
yeah,
not
superior
I'm,
system that means way more than any kind of achievement system ever created. Yeah, of course.
Whatever he said about that. For me, I'm just like, if there's a game I like, I'll get the platinum in it. Otherwise, it's also worthless to me. I'm just like, I don't care. Like, I use it as a way to be like, hey, this is something that I really care about, or check me out. I'm a hardcore Epic gamer. So like, I've got maybe three platinums or four platinums, and they are like Sekiro, Bloodborne, and Mass Effect 1, 2, and coming up on Mass Effect 3, and that's it. So like, I use the trophies, platinum trophies in PlayStation World to be as a representation of my taste. And I don't think I can do that anymore on, oh, your taste is just literally everything.
What? No, I mean, I you know, if I have a platinum, it means it's a really tough game. And I, you know, went out of my way to get that very tough platinum to make a point of something, you know?
On like Xbox, I did a similar thing, but then Xbox started, like, I was playing games and it was just chucking achievements to the point where it became a really bad representation of who I am. Where it was like, you played Doritos Crash Course for one debaucherous night with some friends, and now you've got all the trophies. And I'm like, no, that's not who I am. I'm more than Doritos.
Just let it be you. Just let it be you. Let it wash over you. Is there anything better? I'm looking at psnprofiles.com/gameovergreggy right now. And look at that. You got you got Tome, you got Ghost of Tsushima, then you got Legends of Talia Arcadia, which I platinumed in 31 seconds. Like, come on. That's who I am, everybody. I will waste 31 seconds of my time to get a platinum and see that number go up. That's how you get to 157.
Honestly, I respect it. I respect that you're willing to put that much time and effort into it. You're willing to go high and you're willing to go low. And that's impressive.
Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. The times I could have played other games, I could have talked to my wife, I could have called my mom. No, you look down. St. Patrick's Day break, head to head. That took me 25 minutes and 47 seconds to get that platinum.
The problem I have with this is, like, if I commit to it, I want to be number one. And if I can't be number one, which is impossible, I'm not going to commit to it. It's pointless. Like, there's no way I'm being the number one trophy person in all of PlayStationdom.
Sure.
And
so currently I'm number 2,209 in the country, which I think is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Because I'm not, that's not what I'm here for, the personal achievement. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I really, let me just do a random scroll, find one here. Like, the three versions of syrup and the ultimate sweet platinum trophy I have. It just defines me as a person, right? The two North American ones, and then
game called? Say again.
Syrup and the Ultimate Sweet. You probably remember. There's not a lot of Game of the Year lists.
At some point in the kind of funny timeline, Greg, you're going to purchase a game studio that is going to be creating shite games specifically so you can unlock trophies.
You can say that, but think about it this way too. Like, look, you can see them all piled together and how I get better at it, right? So the first platinum took me 36 minutes. The second one took me 10 minutes, and the next one took me 5 minutes. So you can see me getting better as I go. And for the record, you know what I mean? I there's very few things I like to pat myself on the back about getting, but I remember distinctly, I think it was the Infamous 2 press tour. I was up in Bellevue, Washington, and me and Nate Fox went out for drinks afterward or wherever. Maybe it was like, you know, after the demos or whatever. And we were shooting the shit about PlayStation, and we were shooting the shit about trophies. And I told him, I was like, there's an opportunity there for someone just to make easy trophies and put them in their game. And he's like, you think this is years, obviously, before this really became a thing like it is now. He's like, you think people would buy not great game? And I'm like, 100%. And I would. He's like, no, they wouldn't. And here we are.
You know how I see you when you talk about getting crap games to like trophies. You remember that episode of Simpsons where he's gold and he's massive and he's got all the rings on?
Oh yeah, how can I forget?
That's why I think of you as with all your shite trophies.
It's such a weird little obsession. I mean, like, achievements in general, or, you know, and chasing that stuff, and then it's such a weird meta game on top of it all, right? Where it's just like, you know, just like in the game, I like to see my numbers go up, right? I want to level up. I want to get my most XP. To see that stupid PlayStation bar fill up and like for that one hit of, you know, endorphins, I'm like, cool, that was nice. And then I never think about it again.
I'm glad that they updated the PlayStation to have the list now instead of the
oh my god,
because that was such a pain in the ass. Yeah, PlayStation 5, so bad. I was playing Mass Effect 3 to try and get the platinum and keep having to go back to that, and then But regardless, I'm very happy for people on Epic Games Store, or sad that it's happening. I ain't got time to read
and or
that.
Sad. Whatever you are for Epic, congratulations, and or we're sorry for you. But for now, I'm never sorry for people who go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. On patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show with the exclusive post show we do. But most important for right now, you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, here's a word from our sponsors.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by DoorDash. Picture this. It's been a long week. You're glued to your couch. You're in your pajamas. In fact, you haven't seen your real clothes in weeks. And then it happens. Your stomach rumbles. But don't get off your couch. Why don't you treat yourself tonight with something from DoorDash? DoorDash brings you what you want to eat right now, right to your door. But you also get groceries and other essentials delivered with DoorDash. Get drinks, snacks, and other household items in under an hour. With over 300,000 partners, you can support your neighborhood's go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. Snowbike Mike loves DoorDash. He loves nothing more than getting his iced chai lattes delivered to him every morning so he can be fresh and ready to go for the day's work. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code GAMES2021. That's 25% off, up to $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. We are also brought to you by Honey. I'm about to blow your mind. Did you know there's a wrong way to shop online? I got news for you, buddy. If you're not shopping with Honey, you've been doing it wrong. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best ones it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online and is super, super easy to use. Say you're shopping on one of your favorite sites and you go to checkout. The Honey button will drop down and all you gotta do is click apply coupons and wait as Honey works its magic looking for codes it can use for that site. If it finds a working coupon, you'll watch the price drop. Kevin and Tim use Honey all the time, especially now as we're ramping up the new studio. They're never not shopping online without Honey because they like saving money and I like when they save me money. It's great. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. We'd never recommend something we don't use here personally. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/games. That's joinhoney.com/games. We're also brought to you by American Giant. American Giant does a lot more than make the greatest hoodie ever made, which is already kind of a big deal. That's why they produce everything in America, with the added bonus of getting to obsess over every single detail of their clothing at every step. American Giant began with the belief that local makes better, every detail matters, and the clothes you wear every day should be beautiful and durable. The folks over at American Giant call themselves that because they know the power of supporting local manufacturers, communities, and workers. Tim is a hoodie fanatic, and he swears by these American Giant hoodies. He loves this company, and you will too. But hey, guess what? They didn't stop at the greatest hoodie ever made. They expanded well beyond it, continuing to revolutionize your everyday wardrobe and leaving things better than they were before. Explore American Giant's collection of durable essentials at American-Giant.com. And you get 20% off when you use the code KFGD at checkout. That's 20% off at American-Giant.com, promo code KFGD.
Welcome back, everybody. Guess what? We have breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Don't act surprised, Tam. I'm pissed off. You did this. You didn't even warn me. We go to GameSpot.com where Timur Hussein writes, while in the middle of the show, Ghost Recon Frontline is Ubisoft's new Battle Royale shooter. Ubisoft has announced Ghost Recon Frontline, a new entry in its tactical shooter series that moves the gameplay in a new but familiar direction. Developed by Ubisoft Ubisoft Bucharest. Frontline is a large-scale PvP shooter that carries the tactical heritage of the shooter, but implements it in a first-person multiplayer experience. The standard gameplay mode in Frontline Expedition pits 100 players against each other in small teams of three-person squads. Their objective is to find crucial intel and extract it, but must contend with the other squads to do so. The action takes place on the island of Drakemore, which was described as being 4x4 kilometers in size and features 4 distinct biomes and 20 landmarks. Kevin, as a dumb American, 4x4 kilometers. What do you think of that? That big, that small? What do you think?
I mean, that's more than I'd like to walk. You remember it? What?
That's fair.
That's a great way of doing it. That's a great way of describing it. I like that.
All right, then. Good enough.
According to Ubisoft, a key part of the experience is putting together and developing your team of contractors, which is the name of soldiers in Frontline. Players will start with 2 of them, but are able to hire new ones, customize them, and evolve their capabilities. Contractors are based on classes, and thus far, 3 have been confirmed. Tam, so did you get to see this? What happened here?
Yeah, so I saw it. A kind of like trailer / presentation about it early. And the one thing that's I wrote towards the end of the article that they wanted to make clear, it's very early in development, which makes me feel like it's kind of a reactive project to what's going on, to the current trend, which is battle royale shooters are very big. The most noticeable thing that a lot of Ghost Recon fans are going to immediately pick up on is the fact that it doesn't look or it doesn't seem paced like a Ghost Recon game. Ghost Recon games, as you know, traditionally are third person, very slower paced.
Let's plan the attack. Let's get outside, scope it out.
Plan your work your plan. That is the gameplay of it. Whereas this is a first person shooter, and it feels like Ubisoft saw Call of Duty Warzone doing gangbusters and was like, we need one of those. And that is what we're kind of going towards here. Having said that, it definitely has some interesting elements. It has the it has a gameplay mechanic that allows a certain characters to call in drops, and they can be things like weapons and armor and that kind of stuff. But it can also be stuff like a sniper tower or a you know, deployable cover and that kind of stuff. So it allows you to not deform, but like add new strategic considerations to the battlefield on the fly. Outside of that, fundamentally, it feels like a traditional first-person shooter. They talked about moving it to first-person so that they could build immersion, and I think it would have been braver if they tried to do something like a battle royale, 100 people from the traditional Ghost Recon style third person with a little bit more tactics.
Sure.
But you know, this is what they went for. There's nothing in here that makes me think, oh, that's amazing, that looks really cool, I'm excited for that. And Ubisoft has a pretty spotty track record for throwing out you know, battle royale games and then bailing on them the moment they don't seem to do really well. They had that one Hyperscape, I think it was.
Is that what it's called? I remember seeing it at PAX all the time. They were doing stuff for it.
Yeah, it came out, and then the following week, just Ubisoft were like, "What are you talking about?"
I don't know. We didn't make that game. We didn't do that at all.
It is what it is. But I'm open to seeing it.
For this one, you said it's a ways out. Did they talk about, is it free to play? Are they chasing that model?
They didn't talk about model. They just said like, we're super early, we're listening. There's a play test coming for Europe that you can sign up for now. And they talked about how they want to be molded. You know, they want it to be molded by the players, which getting real tired of developers saying, hey, help us make our game, but you know, here we are. Fair enough, if it works, it works. I guess it works for this genre, but
they're getting real sick of you guys saying the game sucks. This way it's your fault, you know what I mean? I have in the chat Yusuf Magid from Ubisoft saying it is free to play. It has been confirmed free to play.
It is free to play. Thank you, Yusuf, our local Ubisoft rep.
It's one of those things, he works at Ubisoft, so I think we can believe him, but this is also a man who says a McGriddle's better than a McMuffin, so I don't know. That's an opinion, I guess. That's a fact. They think we can trust him, probably, but not.
I trust Yusuf with my life, so I'm going to take him on this. Huh. Yeah, right, and I'm going to trust him about the McGriddle stuff as well.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay, right. I can't eat any of them. They're all haram. Okay. When is McDonald's going to make food available for me and people like me? That's all I'm saying. You know, consider
that. Not just order it without the stuff.
No, it's just pointless. What's the point? They can do that. This is why I was devastated when the filet of fish just got bounced out so early. It's the one thing I can consistently enjoy. Absolutely disgusting behavior.
I got a bunch of filet of fish gift cards here that nobody wants. So if you want them.
Oh, mate, I will absolutely take those.
Okay. Number four on the Roper Report. EA is reversing its Battlefield upgrade plan. This is Hiron Cryer over at Games Radar. Battlefield 2042 will offer free new-gen upgrades to anyone who purchases the standard digital edition of the game, changing a previous stance on upgrades. EA will now offer anyone a free new-gen upgrade of Battlefield 2042 if they purchase the standard digital edition of the shooter on PS4 or Xbox One. This means that those purchasing the game digitally on either platform are guaranteed a PS5, Xbox Series X, or Series S version of Battlefield 2042 at any time. This is actually a big change from EA's previous stance on new-gen upgrades for the new shooter. Previously, Battlefield 2042 only included new-gen upgrades for those who purchased the Gold Edition of the game, which retailed for $100. However, right now, nothing has been announced for those who purchase physical editions of Battlefield 2042. EA hasn't yet elaborated on what this change in policy means for physical owners, and right now it appears as though owners of a physical copy of Battlefield 2042 might very well have to still shell out the $100 for the aforementioned Gold Edition to bag a new gen update. Damn. Why is it never easy? Why is it not just thinking that?
Why you gotta make this so confusing? Like, transitions to a new genre are hard enough as is. Why do they have to come along and make it even more complicated? And like, I don't want to be conspiracy theorists and be like, oh, they're nickel and diming people, but
they're doing it to push you to digital where they make more
money. Yeah, where they make more money. And like, the thing that is really annoying is you just create animosity with this situation. Like, the only thing you're doing is making people kind of turn against you, and you're changing the conversation to be from, hey, Battlefield 2042 seems interesting, to Battlefield 2042 is that game where I don't know how to buy it and have the version I want. And that becomes the dominant discussion around your brand new game, a game which is like following a few shaky entries in the franchise and really needs to hit, and really needs to hit hard right now. Like, polluting that well with some nonsense, confusing kind of path of progression for upgrades is just, this is baffling. Like, I don't understand it.
Yeah, and it's such one of those total, you know, one step forward, two steps back thing. Of like, on paper, the headline, awesome, this is great, this is a pro consumer move. And then it's like, well, not for the physical edition. Like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And like I said, the main thing for me is just like, you're just detracting from people talking about the game. And instead, now that the conversation is about the business model. And it's such a classic EA biff. They do this constantly.
Why not bungle this, right? Yeah, and it's exactly what you're talking about, where it seems like every time people have talked about Battlefield 2042, it's been positive in terms of gameplay. What I've seen from the trailers, it looks impressive. And so, yeah, why get in the way of that, and why keep making this more and more cluttered?
Yeah, and I hate to keep taking it back to Battlefront, but like, I don't understand how they haven't learned a lesson where it's like complicated, like, money mechanisms in game is going to cause problems for you regardless.
Yeah.
Like, they keep flirting with it, and it's just like, just learn your lesson. Just learn your lesson. And like, this is a massive franchise. If you're going to do it with any franchise, don't do it with Battlefield. It needs to be a simple entry point, because Call of Duty is whooping your ass right now. Apex Legends, another game that you own, is like massive right now. You got Fortnite, you have so many competitors right now. Don't run into the room and then immediately throw yourself out the window. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, don't give ammunition, right? Don't give ammunition to your enemies, let alone your audience. It's like, oh, maybe I'll try this new Battlefield, and they're like, oh, well, it's traditionally EA. Here they are, trying to gouge, trying to do this. Now, speaking of traditional, let's go to number five. Konami is in the news again. Konami's having a contest to make some new games with its classics franchise. We're going to read from IGN Japan. Konami has announced an indie game contest that actively asks small developers to make games based on some of its classic series, including Gradius, Ganbare,
Gambare Goemon.
Thank you very much. And many more. Konami's action and shooting game contest asks indie creators to plan and develop new action games and shooters based on past Konami titles. The rules allow for creators to make remakes or sequels. They can pick out a single character or mechanic from a past title, or even can change or combine genres that may not have been in the originals. Through the collaboration of indie creators and Konami, these new works could potentially become commercial products. The contest is sponsored by Konami and held in cooperation with Shuei Game Creators Camp, a project to support game developers. The contest begins September 30th and will run through January 6, 2022. Konami's specified 80 different games for creators to reimagine, including games from Gradius, Star Soldier, Twin B, Tam?
Yep. Gambare Goemon.
Oh, come on, with more gusto. You nailed it the first
Gambare
time.
Goemon.
Thank you. Nightmare and others. It comes at an interesting time for Konami as a whole. A recent report says the company is beginning to refocus on its owned series and is becoming more open to allowing third parties to develop games within them. While Konami itself is apparently handling new games for Castlevania, Metal Gear Solid, and Silent Hill, this contest seems to allow some of its lesser known or more cult favorite series to reemerge through different means. The grand prize for the contest is 2 million yen, and Konami will offer to publish works that can be commercialized. In addition to investing up to 30 million yen in development funds for commercialized projects, Konami will provide supervision, production advice, and support regarding localization, promotion, and development equipment. Tam, is this a cool idea or a weird idea?
I think it's a great idea. I think it's a really cool idea. I wish they kind of... I hope it's the first part of kind of like a ongoing campaign, not campaign, but like initiative for them. Mainly because, like, of these, I think there's maybe a couple that people will be really interested in. I think Gambare Goemon is like big. Goemon is a big character in Japan at the very least, maybe in Asia as a whole. And outside of Japan, I think the only real kind of contenders are Gradius being top of the list, and then maybe Twin B and Star Soldier after that. I'm not sure how many people really know Nightmare. So it's a really interesting kind of initiative with some low risk franchises being put out there. I hope that it works out. I think there could be some really interesting ideas coming in from indie developers for a bunch of these. I hope it works, and I hope it's successful with them. And then I hope the next stage is we have Castlevania if anyone wants it.
Now they're doing that. They're holding on to that tight. You know they're not.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I would love to see. You know, Konami's in a weird spot right now Yeah, I want them to lean into this kind of mentality where they obviously are in a position where they can't make games themselves entirely, but I would love for them to start making connections. They've got the IPs. Go out there and speak to different developers and be like, hey, can you make this game for us? And take Castlevania to From Software is all I'm saying.
Your mouth to God's ears, right? Yeah, I think it's a cool idea. For me, I wonder what the scope they're looking for, right? Because of course the grand prize is 2 million yen, which is about $18,000, but then their Konami will offer to publish works that can be commercialized in addition to investing up to 30 million yen, which is $270,000, which sounds pretty small for you're trying to make a game. But I mean, I guess they might be defining indie in a very specific 8-bit way. That's what they're looking for and what they're trying for, and that's totally their prerogative. But I want to make sure. Yeah, that work out, and how much are the developers getting other than the game they start publishing?
Yeah, but like then again, interesting games have been made on a lot less.
Of course, so who knows?
And like we said, we're not expecting much out of. We're not expecting like amazing things out of Star Soldier and Twin B, but. I don't know. Speaking I feel like yourself. That. Yeah, you're a big Twin B fan. It has
love
been
Twin B. Love Jolly B. Love Twin B.
That was exactly the same. Yeah. but yeah, I think like maybe that's enough in their mind to do like a Gradius thing or even a Gambare Goemon something or another. And you never know, like if they see something's popping and they're like, maybe we should sink some more money into it. It could be a way to kind of like that amount of money feels also like it's put in place as a upper limit to kind of like. Keep keep the scope of the project relatively under control.
For sure. Yeah. And I that would be a great way to do it, obviously. So be interested to see what people can do with that in these classic Konami franchises. Number six and final on Europa Report for Tuesday. No more money on the PS3 and Vita stores. This is George Yang at GameSpot.com. Sony has announced that starting on October 27th, players can no longer use credit or debit cards, as well as payment methods such as PayPal, in order to purchase digital content or add funds to the PlayStation Store on PS3 or PlayStation Vita systems. If users want to continue purchasing PS3 and Vita content digitally, then sufficient funds need to be added to their account in other ways. PlayStation Store gift cards are one example. Additionally, credit or debit cards and systems like PayPal will still work on desktop, mobile, PS4, and PlayStation 5 versions of the PlayStation Store, so users can add funds through those and then subsequently use them to purchase digital content on PS3 and Vita. If certain games have in-game stores, such as if certain games have an in-game store, content such as DLC is still purchasable through them, but users will still need to pay using wallet funds on the PlayStation Store. So as usual, Tam, remember they made a big brouhaha. They were going to close down the stores. People were like, please don't do that. They're like, all right, we reversed the decision. But guess what? It's still going to be complicated if you want to try to get in there and buy stuff if you're still playing your Vita games.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't know. I feel like they should just make all the Vita games like ridiculously cheap and just be like, just buy all these now, please. And
that was going to be the hope if they were going to shut down the store, right? I would have loved to have seen them do that.
That would have been amazing. Yeah. I mean, like, it's been a while since I bought anything on any of those consoles. It's just a real shame that one of the reasons people are so adamant that these need to be like accessible and easy to make them accessible is because they're modern, like preservation. Like, these games are inaccessible on other current systems, and I feel like more pressure should be put on Sony to do its part and make PlayStation 3 games more available and make PlayStation Vita games more available. I mean, like, PSTV was an amazing first step. Like, it's a real shame that they didn't capitalize on where that was going and put more into it. I would love, like, if you own a PS Vita TV, like, it's like gold dust now, but that thing is pretty amazing. I would love it if they figured out a way to make, you know, these Vita games playable on current hardware.
Make an adapter, plug it in your PlayStation 5.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. How that bring back weird adapters, Sony.
Right, yeah. Take a page out of Nintendo's book, right? Give me all those weird ass adapters.
Make one less camera, make one less TV this year, and put that money into like a good adapter for PlayStation Vita games, and everyone will just buy it. It'll be amazing.
Nobody would buy it, but a lot of people would buy it, but not a lot of people did not. Y'all fucked us over on the Vita. You could have helped us, you could have supported us. We could all be playing Vita 2 right now, having a great time, but you all wanted
I've got like five of those damn things, so I did my part.
Me and Tam did our part. Where were you, ladies and gentlemen?
Where were you?
Where were disgusting. You?
Yeah. Now I can't play Metal Gear Acid. That's a PSP.
That's game. On you right now,
yeah.
Peter.
Yeah, yeah.
Right
yeah.
out. You hear me, Peter? It's on you that Tam can't play Metal Gear Acid.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Tam, I'm excited to see what you can play next, but seeing games so far away, if I wanted something more immediate, what came to the Mom and Grab shops? Where do I go?
You will go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Now here's where we're going to go in the live chat right now. Page Nitro39 says, I wasn't alive. Nitro39, my child has not come out of gen yet. I've already bought all this Ghostbuster crap for him. Where were your parents? Yeah. Why aren't your parents supporting the PlayStation Vita, huh? Where were they when we needed it? Where were they when Uncharted Golden Abyss came out? Where were they when Severed came out? Where were they when Shuhei Yoshida had a 3G Vita and was putting up photos on Twitter? You need to talk to your parents.
I have a Commodore 64. I've got a ZX Spectrum. I own a Sega CD. Those were not consoles that I was alive to play. But I did my part.
You
do yours,
Nitro. All right, your parents sicken me. Go tell them that. Go in there and say, "Why was I raised wrong?" Then put up a TikTok and people understand. Out today, totally accurate battle simulator is on Xbox Game Pass, cloud console and PC. Exophobia is on PS5 or PlayStation all around, Xbox all around, Switch and PC. Nickelodeon All Star Brawl is on PlayStation all around, Xbox all around, Switch and PC. Alan Wake Remastered is on PlayStation all around, Xbox all around, and PC. Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania is on PlayStation all around, Xbox all around, and Switch. Rainbow Billy The Curse of the Leviathan is on PS4, Xbox One, Switch and PC. Jet the Far Shore is on PlayStation all around and PC. BPM Bullets Per Minute is on PS4, Xbox One. Puzzle Bobble 3D Vacation Odyssey is on PlayStation all around. Lego Marvel Super Heroes is on Switch. Agatha Christie, oh god, this thing. Hercule Poirot.
Oh, you were so close.
Gary yelled at me so much and made me say it a bunch of times and I already forgot. I'm sorry. What
Poirot.
Oh, Gary definitely.
Hercule Poirot.
The First Cases is on Switch. Our main Switch is on Switch. Rims Racing is on Switch. Hotel Magnet is on PC. Puzzle Bobble 3D Vacation Odyssey launches today on PS5, PS4, and PlayStation VR. Unravel the Mystery of Zero and Knockout City Season 3 Hacked starting today. The Quick Draw Club number 4 is now available, offering Red Dead Online players the chance to earn the Dunster outfit, Ibarra variant of the Mauser pistol, and much more. Also today through October 8th, players who defend Blackwater from waves of incoming bandits and call to arms will earn 50% more Red Dead Online money and XP. You like that one, Tam? I tried.
A moment I was like, I don't know what language he's speaking anymore.
I'm such an idiot. From October 8th through 11th, McFarland's Ranch will now offer the same bonus payout. The Falconeer soars to the cloud on Stadia today. Killing Floor 2, Days of the Zed Halloween update brings cowboys and zombies to PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox today. New dates for you. The Tetris 99 25th Maximus Cup kicks off on October 8th and runs until October 11th. It's Monster Hunter Rise themed. Dread Hunger is set to launch on PC November 10th. Fox Goes Hunting is coming to Steam October 8th. Forgive Me Father launches in early access October 26th. Lord. 007's Aston Martin Valhalla will be available in Rocket League beginning October 7th on all platforms. Deals of the day for you. We have new Xbox Game Pass updates for you. Coming to the service on October 7th, you get the Procession to Calvary Cloud Console PC. Then you get Visage Cloud Console PC. October 12th, we'll see Back for Blood. Fuck yeah. Cloud Console PC. Destiny 2 Beyond Light on PC. October 14th gives you Ring of Pain Cloud Console and PC. And the Rift Breakers Cloud Console. Cloud PC and Xbox Series X/S. And then on October 15th, The Good Life Cloud Console and PC.
How about a ring of pain for a few weeks now?
Heyo, get it checked out. You know what I mean? Stop eating spicy food. We ask people watching live to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and support us and help us out. You get the show ad-free and write in with your own questions and write in with your own squad ups. And speaking of squad up, Gregway, Jeremiah. Jeremiah is his name. Then he puts parentheses helpful, but with an X. And then he says it's helpful with an X. All right. Jeremiah writes in saying he needs help on PC League of Legends. Parentheses. Xbox is the same name. And then his username is helpful, but it's an X. So help FXL. Helpful with an X. Good morning, afternoon. Here in Eastern time, best time. I'm looking for best friends to play with me on League for fun, or if you want to carry me on rank. Plat 4, play any role. Also on Xbox. Helpful is my gamer tag. Much love to you and everyone. Heart. Helpful with an X, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go play League of Legends with Helpful, aka Jeremiah. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. That is not a you're wrong. That is not a you're wrong. That is not a you're wrong.
Nothing wrong.
I'll give this. This isn't a you're wrong, but I appreciate it. Nanobiologist writes in and says, for comparison, Call of Duty Warzone's map is 9 kilometers by 9 kilometers. So Ghost Recon's map will be less than half the size of that.
Kevin ain't walking it.
You can say as small as it is. Kevin ain't excited to walk it. Kebabs tried to write in with breaking news that was already in the show, not as breaking news. So Kebabs, you are wrong. No, okay, then okay, cool. Kebabs corrects himself. It says, and Greg just read it out. I shall not present my. No, we're not going to read that. No.
I want to read that. I'm getting
it. It's already deleted. It's gone now. Don't worry about that. Okay. Hold on now. And then Boars in Double Zero says, hey, there's some clarification on the Battlefield thing, next gen thing. It's from IG. And he just gives me a link. I'm putting it into Twitter. And it says, update. EA has clarified that the dual entitlement feature will only feature as part of the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X versions of Battlefield 2042.
See, now what you've done is, now we need to explain to the people that we've already told this is happening, that is not happening, and now we need to re-explain the entire thing to them. So you've made it complicate even more by undoing the bad thing that you did in the first place.
The update reads, EA has clarified that the dual entitlement feature will only feature as part of the PlayStation and Xbox Series X/S Battlefields of 2042. As such, even if you currently only have a previous generation console, you should purchase the new generation version of Battlefield 2042 should you want to make the upgrade system. Fucking hell.
Cancel the game. Just cancel the game.
Fucking goddamn it. How did you make this worse? How did you make it worse?
Start from scratch with a new game and don't do this again. That's what I say.
Oh my God. That's a fucking stupid ass decision. God damn it, EA. For a second, I was like, all right, you're at least moving in the right direction. What the fuck? What the fuck? God damn it.
Sort your lives out, EA.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of this show. Tomorrow, Blessing and Andy will be hosting. Thursday, it'll be me and Tim unless my baby comes. Friday, it'll be me and Blessing unless my baby comes. If you're watching live on Twitch right now, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, of course. Guess what? Up next is Far Cry 6. With Nick and Mike, they're starting a campaign. They're jumping in, seeing what's up with that. Of course, if you missed that live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, where we put up all of our stream archives and have fun there. If that wasn't enough streaming fun and or archive fun for you, remember, Bless and Andy are taking part in Panda's All-Star Nickvitational, a huge Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl tournament featuring a bunch of big YouTubers and streamers. That is happening today at noon Pacific, twitch.tv/pandaglobal. Of course, if you're watching later, you can catch the archive on twitch.tv/pandaglobal. Tam, where can people keep up with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Tamor H. You can check out my work on GameSpot.com or GiantBomb.com, or you can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/TamorH.
You did a great job, Tim. I like working with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. I always appreciate being
invited. Oh my God, anytime, you know that I love you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not done yet, me and Tam. We're going to go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and record a post show that you can catch there later. But if you're not coming with us, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.